This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by The Star, presented by Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation, the fully animated story of the first Christmas told through a whole new set of eyes. The Star, in theaters November 17th, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. More information at thestarmovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us again. The Human Rights Campaign, the largest pro-homosexual lobby group in America, is out now with its latest Corporate Equality Index, rating workplaces on so-called LGBT equality. And they tout the fact that a record number of the nation's major companies and law firms are LGBT affirmers, yet they still complain that they're under sustained attack from the Trump administration with so-called discrimination just around the corner at every turn. Should we believe them, especially when we've seen an increasing number of homosexual and transgender candidates just elected to public office through careful, long-term planning and funding by and for homosexual activists? It's really important to consider, especially because the Human Rights Campaign president, Chad Griffin, said the days of attacking LGBTQ people for votes are over. Well, Peter LaBarbera is here to help us sort it out. He is president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And great to welcome you back to the show, Peter. How are you?
Oh, great, Janet. Thanks for having me on again.
Always great to talk to you. All right, I want to talk about the Human Rights Campaign. We'll just shorten it and call them HRC, and also these candidates. But let's talk a little bit about this new Corporate Equality Index. For people who are just tuning in and aren't familiar with what that all is, can you explain what this is, why it matters for homosexual activism?
Okay, what this is a pro-homosexual, pro-transgender rating system developed by the largest, most powerful homosexual transgender lobby group in the world, the Human Rights Campaign, and it's a rigged system because it punishes companies if they were to dare say, wow, we're going to give a $1,000 grant to the Janet Mefford Show because we think it's a wonderful show. If a business did that and HRC found out about it, they would take 25 points, I believe it is, off that company's score, 0 to 100, 100 being 100% pro-gay, pro-transgender. Okay, and it rates the companies on various things. And every couple of years, they ratchet up the criteria to make it tougher and tougher to get the 100% score. So the company, they get the companies hooked on getting them 100% score, and then they up the ante every year or so. I don't know if it's one every year or every 2 years, but they're always up at the ante. And now it's at the point where they're demanding that companies provide full transgender, quote, transition benefits under health care. They're getting these massive gifts to corporations, are giving these huge gifts to gay pride organizations and homosexual groups, because if you give a large grant, that's one way you show your support to getting that 100% score.
Right.
So it's a totally rigged system, totally biased against pro-family Americans, totally biased in favor of homosexual groups, and yet the media treat it like it's some, you know, statistical, factual rating system.
Why do you think it is that so many of these companies feel like they have to be on board with whatever the Human Rights Campaign thinks? What is it driving these companies to go along with it? Certainly there are true believers, but earlier on when they launched this thing, you had an awful lot of companies who were reluctant to go along with this LGBT affirmation. What happened along the way to get these companies in line, and why do they feel like they need to get in line?
Well, it's sort of a complicated question, and there's a lot of factors that have driven this. But I think the number one factor is the media, which now treats homosexual, bisexual, transgender as a civil rights issue as opposed to a moral issue, which we know is what it is.
Yeah.
We're right and they're wrong. It's a moral issue. They're on the wrong side of morality in history. They're against God's side. And yet the media treats it as a civil rights issue. And so the corporations whose HR departments are dominated by the left, by liberals, they have pushed this. And now diversity, so-called, has become a big business. Ironically, it's called diversity. There's no diversity. They don't reach out to ex-gays. They don't reach out to another side on say, homosexual so-called marriage. It's only one side. And yet they do it in the name of diversity inclusion, which is the biggest joke of all, Janet.
Yeah, it sure is. What I've noticed when I was reading through some of the material from the Human Rights Campaign website just this morning, Peter, was the fact that they have moved from wanting companies to have pro-LGBT policies into wanting them to become full-fledged gay activists alongside the HRC. Would that be fair to say? Because they talk about applying these company policies to their operations around the globe, and they want these companies to become vocal advocates for equality in the public square, talking about dozens signing on to amicus briefs in vital Supreme Court cases, and the fact that we now have over 100 corporate supporters of the Equality Act, which if passed would effectively criminalize Christianity. Now they want these companies to be gay activists along with them.
Yeah, this is Jesse Jackson on steroids.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember Jesse Jackson shaking down the corporations and getting massive gifts? He had nothing on the Human Rights Campaign, because that's exactly what they're doing. Just like the media has become part of homosexual activism, the media drives homosexual activism. They see themselves as the protector of the LGBTQ. Q stands for queer, by the way. The media is the protector of that. Now the corporations, they're the funders. And they want them to do like you said, do more than funding. They want them to sign amicus briefs. They want them to basically serve as an arm, an adjunct of this radical sexual and gender lobby.
Yeah.
And it works. Because why does it work? Because there's no other side holding them accountable. If there were any real fair media in this country and not so much fake news, people would say, well, that's your survey, this corporate equality index, it's not really fair if it rewards them for being pro-gay and punishes them for helping, say, somebody who believes marriage is between one man and one woman. They would say, that's not a fair survey. We don't care what that survey says, right?
Right.
It's sort of like the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate criteria. That's totally unfair. It's leftist.
Yeah.
But there is no media holding them accountable. And so the Human Rights Campaign gets this aura of almost invincibility, because there's nobody holding them accountable except a smattering of conservative groups, and there's not much power behind that.
Why is that? We've had a pro-family movement for several decades now that's been very active. Why don't we have a Christian version of the HRC that would come to these companies and say, we expect you to have pro-family policies?
I don't know the answer to that question, except to say that we're not bold. We're always on defense. We're always reacting. We don't plan. They plan. They organize. They've had this plan. They've been working towards it. They keep building on it. And we're always reacting. And then what happens? Lo and behold, before you know it, there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of companies signing up to this radical agenda.
Right.
And you know, it's not too late to keep fighting back. But there should be a very, very well-run operation. I know there's a second, it's called Second Vote, which kind of keeps track on a number of conservative issues for corporations, but there's nothing that directly responds to this corporate equality index, which the symbol is an equal sign. So if you're driving down the road and you see the equal sign, CEI, that's somebody who's supporting a company that is 100% pro-gay and pro-transgender.
Wow. And as they say in their latest findings, 609 companies earned a perfect 100 points in the Corporate Equality Index, up from 517 last year. Then they mentioned that gender identity is now part of non-discrimination policies at 83% of Fortune 500 companies, up from just 3% in 2002. So that is just a rocket ship going off. Gender identity is protected. There is no such thing as gender identity, Peter. What, are we nuts here?
Yeah, it's called gender confusion. And Janet, can I say another reason why they've won like this? Is because the Christian groups and the corporations are non-political. The gay groups, they're totally political. They're driving the company. They're demanding that the company serve their agenda. The Christian groups are saying, you know, it's sort of naive. I know that the gospel is number one, the most important thing.
Yes.
But you should also be concerned as a Christian with where the culture is headed, with morality. God cares about morality. That means we should.
Yes, I agree with you. Yes. And you and I have talked about this before, Peter. You can do both, and you can preach the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission, which is the highest purpose that we have. And you can also be involved. Occupy till I come, Jesus said. Aren't we supposed to be salt and light in our own culture?
Right. And you can be a strategic thinker and a smart thinker, and you can help figure out ways to stand and defend your country, which God has given us this amazing country, which is really going down the tubes morally. I think we should, Christians and pastors, should be involved in defending what's right, as opposed to saying, oh, that's political and I'm scared and I don't know what to do, and, you know, all this wimpiness that we
yeah.
see.
Oh, yeah. It's all around us, isn't it? Well, when we come back, I want to talk more with Peter LaBarber about this Corporate Equality Index just out from the Human Rights Campaign, the largest pro-homosexual lobby group, not just in America, but in the world. Stay with us. You're listening to Janet Mefford Today.
Here is today's Capitol Hill Brief with Concerned Women for America President Penny Nance.
It's been refreshing to witness the Trump administration's unabashed commitment to support of Israel, and I'm so grateful I got to thank the president recently at a dinner. Their latest action involved withdrawing from UNESCO, citing their unquestionable anti-Israel bias. The U.S. owed $550 million to it, and it contributed annually about $70 million, which comprised about 22% of its budget. Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, praised President Trump, saying this is a courageous and ethical decision because UNESCO has become a theater of the absurd. Instead of preserving history, it distorts it. Let us continue to pray for the Trump administration, Israel, and the overall situation in the Middle East.
Join us on the front lines. Fight to defend critical issues like support for Israel and religious freedom. Together, we'll bring biblical constitutional values back to our nation. Visit CapitolHillBrief.org to give today. That's CapitolHillBrief.org.
Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation present The Star, the fully animated story of the first Christmas told through a whole new set of eyes. Bo the donkey and his stable of animal friends follow the star to become some unlikely heroes.
That light, that's the star. This is where it's been leading me.
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
The Star, in theaters November 17th. More information is available at thestarmovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford for Trinity Debt Management, a nonprofit Christian organization that helps people get out of debt. If credit card debt has you down, Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees, and reduce your interest rate by up to 60%. Save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. Trinity provides practical solutions and creates hope for tomorrow. Call Trinity at 1-800-793-8752. That's 1-800-793-8752. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. My guest, Peter LaBarber from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We're talking about the Human Rights Campaign's latest Corporate Equality Index. This is the standard by which they rate workplaces across America on so-called pro-LGBT policies and activism and whatnot. And 609 companies got perfect scores. That's an awful lot of corporations across the United States. Peter, one of the things I wanted to bring to the listeners' attention, and I really want to get your reaction to this, was a story relating to this Corporate Equality Index. Bloomberg just posted this story with this headline, "Companies Face Pressure to Keep Benefits for Same-Sex Partners." And it says the Human Rights Campaign is encouraging firms to offer domestic partner benefits for unmarried couples if they want a perfect score. Now, that sounds a little weird because post Obergefell, now you can have two men or two women, quote unquote, get married. Not really, but that's what they're calling it. But here's the catch. Why in the world would HRC be pushing for unmarried couples to get domestic partner benefits if they already have so-called gay marriage? Here's what they say, Peter. The Human Rights Campaign is saying marriage still isn't an option for many gay couples because it's legal to discriminate against openly LGBT couples in many states and foreign countries. Now, that is baloney. So in other words, they're trying to say unless we get the Equality Act through Congress, where we get sexual orientation and gender identity fully protected under federal law, gays aren't getting married because this hasn't passed. Are we really supposed to believe this? Or is there another reason why you're not seeing homosexual couples flocking to the altar post Obergefell?
Yeah, the gay scam continues. That's all I can say. I mean, it never stops. The demands never stop. It reminds me of when Obama lowered the criteria for giving blood for men who have sex with men.
Yes.
He lowered it to 1 year. It used to be you had to wait 27 years, I believe, before if you had sex with a man and you're a man, or a woman who had sex with a man who had sex with a man, they'd have to wait 27 years to give blood. They lowered it to 1 year. What did the gay lobby do? I think HRC was in the lead on this. They said, oh, we want total equality. Well, what do you mean total equality? Your behavior is tied to diseases. That's why we have these extra criteria.
Right.
So now they've gotten this. They've successfully redefined marriage with the help of the courts. Absurdly, now two men can get, quote, married in the law. And yet that's not enough, because it turns out that a lot of homosexuals don't want to get married, and it was never really about marriage. And let me quote Evan Wolfson, who was the leading gay marriage activist of all time. This is a quote that I posted on my wall, Janet, because this is, if you want you to understand the gay movement, you need to think like this. Evan Wolfson, who was the leading gay marriage advocate, said, quote, "I'm not in this just to change the law. It's about changing society," unquote. That's what it was all about.
Yeah.
It was about changing society. And of course, when they did radically redefine marriage, it led to a bunch of other changes. And we saw more Christians getting persecuted, and we saw it more easily promoted in schools, the whole agenda, because they said, well, now that it's equal, you can have nothing unequal. So this radical, ridiculous, forced equality where there is no equality has led to a cascade of other changes and demands.
Well, what's interesting, Austin Ruse had penned an article back in July for the Washington Examiner, "Where Are All the Gay Weddings We Were Promised?" Here we are 2 years after Obergefell, and we were told at the time that gays wanted nothing more than to be able to marry each other just like their straight friends and neighbors, and yet the needle on gay marriage has hardly moved. According to this Gallup poll at the time, only 10.2% of homosexuals are in same-sex so-called marriages, which is a tiny bump up from the 7.9% who were in such unions before Obergefell. So what they really were trying to tell us at the time, Peter, was we needed all of this equality because these poor people are being left out in the cold. But they're not rushing to the altar. You now have still 90% of homosexuals are not rushing to the altar to get, quote unquote, married. In fact, there are more married couples, more gays married to women than to other gays. Washington Examiner says there are more homosexual men married to women than to other homosexual men. So have we been had here? Has this all been a ruse from the beginning?
Yeah, a lot of times they'll say they need something in order to get something further, and they'll do it, and of course it's only to win a victory, and then they'll move on to something else.
Yes.
And that's what they did here. I mean, this has gone on since the beginning of the movement. There was a time when homosexual activists said, we don't want to be in schools. What are you talking about? We would never push our agenda in schools. We just want tolerance. That was way back in the 70s, right?
Right.
Well, now they're all over. They've been all over the schools since the 90s.
Yeah.
And pushing everything, including now transgender propaganda to kindergartners. I mean, so it's always say what you need to say to get what you need and then move on to something else, make further demands. Incrementalism.
It's incrementalism and a lot of dishonesty, Peter, because I remember some other stories that I read prior to the Obergefell decision in which writers were saying things like, we want to disestablish marriage. That's our real goal. We don't really want equal marriage. And yet you had Kennedy. This just gets me every time I think about this. You had Justice Kennedy at the Supreme Court going on and on and on. This is about dignity. Well, I wonder what he thinks now when he looks at some of these statistics on how few of them actually are getting married, quote unquote, versus how many Christians have been sued and had filed, you know, complaints against them and losing their livelihoods. Really? Is this really about dignity?
Right. Well, I think Kennedy was compromised. And I guess we'll find out someday whether he had some relative or, you know, what connection there was that led him to become the leading homosexual, pro-homosexual activist on the high court. But absolutely. And he also denied ex-gays, by the way. He totally doesn't understand the issue. And yet, you know, this is how things change. And now I see even a lot of conservatives now telling me, oh, you know, we can't change the law back. Why not? When the homosexual side loses, they go say, how are we going to change that?
Yeah.
And that's how we have to think. We
regroup.
Have to think more like they do in politics, strategically.
Yes. Well, and how much of this for the Human Rights Campaign is just about keeping the fundraising going. I mean, I hate to be so cynical, but that is a fact of life. I mean, they're mad at Jeff Sessions, for example, the U.S. Attorney General, who announced recently, as you know, that the Trump administration will not recognize transgender workers as being protected under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Well, it's a matter of law. They're not protected under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Nobody in 1964 could have ever foreseen the insanity that we're living through right now. And they go crazy as if this is some sort of outrageous discriminatory thing. Well, it goes back to the fact that they couldn't get ENDA through Congress, Peter. They tried for 20-some years.
It's because their policies, with their goals, are whenever they get enacted, they act as if that's sacrosanct.
Of course.
Ours, whenever we win, that needs to be rolled back.
Of course.
And we need to say, look, everything that they've done can be rolled back. I would like to see homosexuals in the military rolled back. I mean, there was a time when that was, you know, that was a conservative position, and it helped actually win the election, or the midterms, I think, under Clinton. The Republicans, it helped the Republicans win because Bill Clinton had taken a radical stand on homosexuality in the military. Now, Obama had done a whole cascade of changes, and Trump had, to his credit, has rolled back more than I suspected he would. But the gay lobby does not like to think of any, to them, as they always say, what's that saying, justice, history is on the side, history is on their side.
Right.
Always.
The right side of history.
Yes, that's just how they roll. And we have to get people thinking, hey, wait a minute. How can you base a human right, a civil right, on a moral wrong?
You can't. You can't.
Our rights are rooted in God. Then how can you have rights rooted in immoral behavior?
Right.
That's dangerous. That's unnatural.
Well, you get drag queens in school libraries now, and nobody even bats an eye. I mean, really? And the extent to which a lot of conservatives are compromised on this issue, so-called conservatives, and even the church itself, Peter, is absolutely heartbreaking, because sometimes I look across the landscape and I say, who's with us anymore? I mean, I know there are a lot of people with us, but does anybody really have the courage and the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, we're going to fight back? I mean, we did it on the pro-life issue. Why isn't it happening with this issue more?
Yeah, and even conservatives who are fighting on the transgender issue, and I give them credit for that, but that's easier. They've sort of given, they don't talk much anymore about the homosexual issue.
Yeah.
And the transgender issue, of course, evolved right out of the homosexual issue. It's the same side, the same playbook. They just did everything the gays did, the gay activists did, and they did the same tactics. That's why we're seeing the transgender movement with huge funding now. I suspect the transgender movement has more funding, Janet, than the entire pro-family movement working on this issue.
I'm sure.
On this issue. That's how unfair this fight is, just not really equal at this point. And we've got to step up.
We do. And what does it say to you as an activist who's been involved warning people about this issue for years now, that you can point out something so obvious as the fact that somebody who is transgender is in reality somebody who is struggling with mental illness? And it does not seem to make a blip in most people's minds that, hey, you're right. Why are we getting behind this? These people need mental help. They don't need to be enabled. We don't need to be opening up our bathrooms to opposite sex people just because they feel a certain way. I mean, why isn't there more traction on what I think is just a fundamental common sense argument that there is no such thing as a transgender? Intersex, yes, well, not transgender.
Underground, there's a lot of people on our side, and probably a lot more than who would speak out. In terms of why so many people are fooled, I think the answer is propaganda works. How can you have mothers who take their young sons to become, quote, girls and allow them to be injected with female hormones? How can that happen? Because when you've got the media, when you've got the corporate world, when you've got the academic world, when you've got the counselors and the psychologists, it's intimidating to people.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like standing up and saying, hey, the emperor has no clothes. You know, the left used to say question authority. That needs to be our motto now, question authority, because the authorities in our culture are so off kilter. I mean, when you're allowing, as happened in Chicago, we've talked about this case, the 16-year-old girl who wanted to be a man, and she had her healthy breasts surgically removed. Her mother and father allowed this, and when she's still underage, I think that should be illegal.
Yeah.
But these are the sorts of things that are happening in this culture. Don't listen to the elites.
I'm with you, Peter. We're going to come back. There's a lot more to talk about, including all of these transgender candidates who just won public office. It's incredible. We're going to come back on Janet Mefford Today. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by The Star, presented by Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation, the fully animated story of the first Christmas told through a whole new set of eyes. The Star, in theaters November 17th, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. More information at thestarmovie.com. This hour, Janet Mefford Today is brought to you by The Star, presented by Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation, the fully animated story of the first Christmas told through a whole new set of eyes. The Star, in theaters November 17th, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. More information at thestarmovie.com. Well, Peter LaBarbera is joining me from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And I have to just throw this story in here as we've been talking about the Human Rights Campaign and LGBT propaganda and all these companies and corporations that have gotten on board with so-called equality. You might have not heard about this, Peter, but TLC, the cable channel, says it's parting ways with Jill Duggar's husband, the Duggars from 19 Kids and Counting or 20 Kids and Counting, whatever the last incarnation, how many kids they had. There's this spinoff series called Counting On. Her husband, Derek Dillard, is now off TLC because he went online and disapproved of Jazz Jennings. This is the 17-year-old transgender reality star. And here's what he had said. This Derek Dillard had said, "I pity Jazz for those who take advantage of him in order to promote their agenda, including the parents who allow these kinds of decisions to be made by a child." And for that, a cable channel says, "You're no longer on our channel." Wonder people don't want to speak up. I mean, he's telling the truth. He's absolutely telling the truth.
Right. And we've got to say no and to these thought police. The LGBT thought police. I used to say just the gay thought police, but now you've got the trans thought police.
Yes.
And it's just incredible to me. Something that innocent, something that right, engenders this kind of response from corporate America. And I think, you know, it's time to start holding corporate America accountable. And I guess we're going to be talking about Office Depot, you know, the situation we had there.
Yes.
But this is the same thing with the Keurig and Hannity. You know, I mean, Sean Hannity, dares to give Roy Moore, at least give him a chance to give his viewpoint, and already the boycott start of the corporate world.
Right.
And the corporations are so tilted to the left, and the LGBT has a total stranglehold on most major corporations, that these sorts of things are happening. And I think the average American, if he understood it, would really get upset.
Yeah. For sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the recent election, because this was kind of a bizarre election in many ways. We had probably the most well-known person, Danica Rome, formerly Daniel Rome, won this race in Virginia for the House of Delegates and now is set to become the first openly transgender elected and seated state legislator in the country, beating, as the Daily Beast put it, self-declared chief homophobe and bathroom bill author Bob Marshall. What were your thoughts on that particular race?
Well, first of all, let me say how insulting it is that they would choose to label like that. They have their hurtful labels. They throw them out at the same time they're talking about inclusion and being kind and loving. Give me a break.
Right.
You know, the way the left just throws bricks at people like Bob Marshall, who is one of the finest legislators, finest people holding office I've ever met. He's an incredible pro-family guy. He's an accomplished pro-family conservative, very devout Catholic, and he didn't deserve this. And so he goes up against this Danica, so-called Daniel turned Danica, this guy who wants to be a woman. He's a pretend woman, effectively.
Yeah.
The left throws in hundreds of thousands of dollars to the transgender candidate. And I believe the spending was, Bob told me, I think it's over $800,000 Danica Rome got.
Wow.
And much of that is from outside the state, outside of Virginia. And and then he Bob loses the race. It's very sad.
It really is sad. And here's what I thought was interesting. The Daily Beast, people really need to read this piece, I think, Peter. It's called How LGBT Candidates Won So Big on Election Night. There is a group called the Victory Fund, and I'm sure most listeners aren't familiar with it. And it says in the piece, in reality, these wins, meaning the multiple transgender candidates who won, not just Danica Rome, but also five other transgender candidates won other contests, school board races and city council in Palm Springs and places like that. And it says, in reality, these wins were a long time coming. They have a quote from the president of the Victory Fund, who said, we actually trained them, developed them, and gave them their campaign boot camp skills when they expressed interest initially over a year ago. These were not Hail Mary long shots by any stretch of the imagination. And this is a group that works to elect LGBT candidates and trains them through partner organization, the Victory Institute. And they had branded, Peter, 2017 in particular, as the year of the transgender candidate. I think most Christians have no clue how much money, how much effort, how much, you know, strain is put into this and how much enthusiasm is put into this, being able to pull off something like this. It was not an accident. They worked very, very hard to make this happen, and they won. And what does that say about the opposite side? Where was the support for Bob Marshall?
Yeah, of course Christians don't know, and the average American has no idea, just like the average American has no idea that there's this skewed, rigged gay corporate survey, which is driving corporations to give millions of dollars to the gay lobby.
Right.
The average Joe has no clue about that. And the average Joe has no clue that that there's this orchestrated campaign to get gender-confused people elected to office. And Bob, of course, was, I think, the most painful of all. And that one had the extra special benefit for Danica, so-called, yeah. of these I think one guy gave $45,000 because he was mad at Trump. He was mad at the Trump military policy proposing to ban transgender service members. He gave $45,000 to Danica Rome to get back at Trump. This is what was happening. And lo and behold, this veteran legislator who actually had a role in the Hyde Amendment, by the way. I think he helped create the Hyde Amendment, Janet, which bans funding for abortions, U.S. taxpayer funding for abortions.
Right.
This is an accomplished legislator, a very smart guy, and he gets swarmed by this left-wing money thrown at this gender-confused opponent.
Wow. It's incredible. Well, just think about Palm Springs, Peter. This is incredible. This Desert Cities Council is now 100% LGBT or queer, according to Equality California. So in other words, this whole city council is now made up of transgender and what they say as bisexual members. This is according to the gay website, The Advocate. So if they employ this strategy around the country, boy, they could take over your city council in your town,
yeah,
too.
Can we just say something about that? Palm Springs has become Perversion City. You know, they basically took it over. This is the place Bob Hope went.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, I was young when Bob Hope was older, but I mean, you know, they basically took it over, and now it hosts these, I can't remember the name of it, but they have these orgiastic gay parties that go on that are basically, they facilitate orgies, and it's just all this homosexual happenings and activism going on there, and lo and behold, there's not a straight guy on the supervisor's list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, what's happened is the LGBTQ, and again, Q stands for queer. That's what they say. They use that terminology now. It has become sacrosanct within liberalism. And so it's corrupted liberalism. And so it's corrupted the Democratic Party. But liberalism and the Democratic Party are very instrumental in how America is constructed. And so basically it's driven a tremendous corruption in America.
Yeah. And another kind of protected class. I mean, that's what they're trying to get through the Equality Act. Let make it a protected class so nobody can touch this issue. But that's always been their game, right? They don't want to talk about the morality or immorality of certain behaviors like homosexual behavior. They want it to be about civil rights to take the moral issue off the table.
Yes, they want morality off the table. They want to rationalize their lifestyle. That's what it's all about. It's rationalizing your own self-deception, your own, you know, self-styled identity, and whatever it takes to do it. And if that means criminalizing Christianity, which effectively is happening, if it means criminalizing a guy's right to simply not bake a homosexual so-called marriage wedding cake, you know, saying that in the United States of America, you can compel somebody to create, to celebrate, to help celebrate something that he believes is immoral.
Yeah.
I mean, that's un-American.
Yep.
But that's the gay movement.
Yeah, absolutely. That is. And people really need to wake up to it. One thing I want to get into when we come back from this break.
But they're not awake now, Janet. When are they going to wake up?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about the church. You know, I think the church, especially millennials, I mean, are like, oh, we need a different approach. We need to not be so condemning and give me a, well, come on, do something.
Well, I'm telling you, hang on, Peter. We're going to go. Yeah, hang on. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back. And I want to talk about this issue of sexual morality, because this is important. Stay with us. You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control over your healthcare costs. That number again, 855-585-4237 or libertyhealthshare.org. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. This is Janet Mefford for Trinity Debt Management, a nonprofit Christian organization that helps people get out of debt. Here is John's story.
When our daughter Emma was born, my wife and I took a hard look at our finances for the first time, and we didn't like what we saw. My wife suggested that I call Trinity. Immediately when I spoke with the counselor for the first time, she was very helpful and put us on a plan for success. Right away, we knew we'd called the right place. We just want everyone out there who might be in our situation to know that there's help.
If credit card debt has you down, Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees, and reduce your interest rate by up to 60%. Save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. Trinity provides practical solutions and creates hope for tomorrow. Call Trinity at 1-800-793-8752. That's 1-800-793-8752. 1-800-793-8752. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. My guest, Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. I sure do appreciate his ministry. You can check him out at americansfortruth.com. This is interesting, Peter. This is something you and I have talked about before, but I want to spend a little time on this issue in particular. Matt Walsh had written a piece over at the Daily Wire about all of these sexual abuse allegations that have been coming out as a flood, really a tsunami in the last several weeks. Harvey Weinstein, people in Hollywood, people in academia, people in politics, on and on and on. And one of the things he says is maybe we ought to consider adopting again some semblance of sexual morality in our culture. Now, that's kind of an understatement. Obviously, we need to adopt some semblance of sexual morality in our culture. But his point is, when you see this avalanche of immorality, what do you think was going to happen when you started saying back in the 60s that we need a sexual revolution, and if it feels good, do it, and the family should be cast aside, and you should live together, and then you should be able to be homosexual, and you should be able to be transgender and queer and do all this stuff? At what point, when they are outraged, for example, by these sexual abuse allegations and rapes and so forth, do they get that this is a sexual society that really has lost its way? Like, we have gone so far. What is going to bring us back short of the Lord himself?
Right. God doesn't matter anymore. Sexual morality based on biblical ethos, you know, throw that away. And then you want to create some kind of morality. And the feminists want to create, you know, the gays are even lecturing us based on their morality. Well, guess what their morality is? You always have to affirm sodomy.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to affirm their illicit behaviors. You know, they preach morality, Janet. If you notice, if you look at, just let's focus on the LGBTQ lobby. they have taken a moral position over the last 10 to 15, maybe 20 years.
Yes.
They switched. They went from being always the victim, and they still play the victim, you know, with the fake gay hate crimes, hate crime hoaxes, which
yes.
we continue to see.
Right.
They're still playing the victim and the born gay rhetoric. Oh, poor pity me, I was born this way. But now they've moved away from that, and they're taking a moral thing. And so it's sort of like Satan's morality.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
mm-hmm.
you know, now they say, oh, God created me gay. And how dare you not affirm me in my sexual orientation? So they flip morality on its head. They flip truth on its head. We've got Isaiah 5 in action here. Good is evil and evil is good. And then they want us to be obedient to their perverse morality. And of course, the real answer is getting back to traditional biblical morality. Don't have sex until you get married.
Right.
That's where sex is beautiful, and God made it for marriage and to procreate, to have children and families and future generations. No, homosexuality is out of bounds. Two men can't have sex. They can't produce children, for goodness sake. How dare you call it equal to the real deal?
Right.
Lesbianism, that's wrong. Romans 1. You know, and not just homosexuality, a bunch of illicit behaviors. Now we're seeing S&M, sadomasochism, going, you know, with those gray movies, you know, those stupid movies.
Yeah, 50 Shades. I don't see
50
them.
Shades of Gay, or 50, I'm sorry, 50 Shades of Gray.
You didn't mean that,
50
I know.
Shades of Gay. But yeah, so you know, the reality is the truth is still the truth,
yeah.
And this fake morality is not true, and it's going to crumble. And look what it's producing.
It's really not benefiting society. When I pull back from this whole question, not just of gay activism and the Obergefell decision and all of the legal things that are going around, you look at the broken lives, Peter. Look at the broken
yeah.
lives from the sexual revolution. Even people we know, we have friends in common who are ex-gay, who say that what I grew up in was horrendous. And by the grace of God, Jesus Christ rescued me out of it. That is the best news we could ever tell anybody. But I wonder how much this society is really ready to listen. They seem absolutely catatonic when it comes to anything that they're told having to do with the goodness of free sexual expression, regardless of the consequences. I just don't know how much longer God will tolerate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we had Stephen Black at our banquet. And by the way, the whole banquet is at our website, AmericansForTruth.com.
He's great.
You can hear his testimony. But the part I was most angry about was when he had been molested twice by homosexual male predators, as happens in so many cases, by the way. People who identify as gay as adults were molested often. Many of them were sexually molested
right.
by sexually molested when they were children. That was Stephen Black. And then he said how he grew up with shame. And I thought, oh my goodness, he had the shame, even though he was the victim of these homosexual predators.
Right.
And yet, you're right. Why isn't Stephen Black on these media shows? What a fascinating story. He lived the gay life for 8 years. Now he's been married, I think, 33 years.
Yes.
And has children. You know, why isn't that a fascinating story to the media? Because the media is ideological. The media is part and parcel of this ideological movement called LGBTQ. And the media doesn't want to tell these stories. They're not curious when it comes to people leaving the homosexual lifestyle. And by the way, Janet, there's tons of people detransitioning who once wanted to become the opposite sex, and then they saw how bad that wasn't working out. Now it's called detransitioning, going back to their natural sex, their natural gender.
Yeah.
Is the media going to trumpet that story all over the place?
No.
I doubt it.
No. Why are they tacking Q onto everything all of a sudden? I know they love their extremely long acronyms, but why are they tacking that on? Is there some push to come for the next group of victims in their ideology? Or what's going on with Q?
Well, I think Q just, to me, it just encapsulates all the weirdness. You know,
everything.
Well, they say they want to reclaim a pejorative, you know, a hurtful word, queer, that was sort of an epithet used at them. But I think the bigger thing is, it's like, now how do you describe the movement? It's now it's polymorphous. You know, it's anything. It's you want to identify as pansexual. They don't want the labels anymore. They just want to be. It's literally want to do anything they want to do. It's the Bible in action here. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of therein is death. And God has his boundaries. that he set up that are so beautiful. You know, how did it work out for women when the feminist revolution and the sexual revolution said, hey, go have sex with a bunch of guys and don't worry about marriage? How did that work out for women?
Terribly.
It didn't work out.
No.
Guys live with women and then they leave, and women are left high and dry after 5 years in a relationship. You know, abortions and so much promiscuity, sexual diseases are now, you know, through the roof again.
Yes.
It didn't work out. God's way is the best way. And it's the same for homosexuality and transgenderism.
Yeah.
The difference between the sexes is wonderful. It's wonderful. That's God's diversity. Why would you want to become the opposite sex? That's just so wrong.
Yeah, it is. And there, you know, when I think of the innocent victims in those scenarios where women are left high and dry and the children pay the price. I mean, my kids talk all the time. Yours probably do, too. Telling me stories about kids they know who come from absolutely shattered households where you have all this stuff going on. Well, actions have consequences, not just for yourself, but for your kids, for the next generation.
Yeah.
And what is that generation going to be like when they grow up, when so many of them don't know what it's like to be in an intact home, don't have any concept of fidelity and marriage being one man and one woman? They've been drowning in this LGBT ideology. I sort of shudder to think what they're going to be like when they grow up, unless they wholesale reject it all and realize they'd been had. I don't know. It's pretty daunting thinking what might be coming down the road.
Yeah. We there are conservative kids coming up, and that's good. But there are also a lot of confused millennials who just have cast the whole sexual ethic from the Bible aside. You know, that they think they know better. In fact, I heard on Fox News the other day, Janet, on millennials, on Neil Cavuto's show, one of the Fox millennials said, oh, now you can change your gender. Because he has said that it used to be one of the things in life, you either had a boy or a girl. And she said, now you can change your gender. She said it so cavalierly. This is Fox News.
Please. And like Delaware wants to put in place these regulations where kids can determine their own gender and their own race. That's a tricky one.
The bottom line is we do not know better than God. I think that's the bottom line.
No, we don't.
We think we do, but we don't.
Very quickly, before we run out of time, Peter, I always think, Lord, if not for you, we have no hope at all. How do you think we ought to be praying for our country right now?
Well, I think we repent. We repent of our own sins. We repent of our corporate sins as a nation. I think we repent for not standing up for the truth. I think we repent for not reaching out with Jesus more to people. I mean, I need it to witness more. And Jesus is the hope of mankind. His grace, his love, his power. I mean, the power of changed lives like Stephen Black. Just amazing.
Yeah.
These homosexuals who've come out of it. And it's mainly through Jesus, Janet, the most successful ex-gays, through Jesus Christ. So,
amen.
I mean, repent and reach out with the love of Christ.
That's perfect. Absolutely. We ought to all be in prayer for this country and for the generation coming up and for those who are really under the devil's sway. I mean, I can't say it any other way. That's how the Bible talks. He blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the truth. And we need to pray for them. And as you said, Peter, be a witness for Jesus all the time. Well, Peter LaBarbera, check out his website, AmericansForTruth.com. Thank you so much, Peter, for being here again. It's always great to have you.
Thanks, Janet. God bless.
God bless you, too. Thanks for joining us on Janet Mefford Today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. And you can visit us at JanetMefford.com.